Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is a gospel lesson which has already been read. Dear friends in Christ, in repentant faith, let us pray to hear and have ears that hear and eyes to see that the Holy Spirit guides us as we learn of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being invited to a royal wedding or some high official in the country's wedding for their child? I mean, at worst, you accept the invitation out of respect for the person, right? At best, and the best gets really quite good, this is going to be the celebration of your life. The food is going to be amazing. There will be food and drink in abundance. Everything's going to be just right. Why would anybody think about missing such an invitation? Now, go back in your memory. 2 weeks ago, we heard in our gospel reading the chief priests and elders asking Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things?" They asked, "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered with a parable. But Jesus points out that his authority comes from heaven. And he begins speaking to them only in parables from that point. And parables not only fulfill the prophecy about Jesus from Psalm 78, verse 2, "I will open my mouth in parables." It is also important to understand that when Jesus is speaking parables in parables, it is a sign of God's judgment on those who have hard hearts and have rejected his prophets and his son and his word. St. Mark tells us, as Jesus speaks, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parable, so that they indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but do not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Judgment. Which is why I began with the prayer, giving us ears to hear and eyes to see. You see, the chief priests here understand that Jesus is speaking about them. They know this, but they fear the crowd, so it keeps them from acting against Jesus, and the hardness of their hearts prevents them from coming to repentance. This happens among us as well. As we allow our wants, our passions, our justifications to reject God's call to repent, as it shows the very hardness of our own hearts, the very hearts that we confessed we had today. It is important to know that many of those called into the kingdom of God miss out because they refuse to respond to God's invitation of faith. Our formula of concord teaches in the epitome, article 11. This does not mean that God is unwilling to save everybody, but the reason some are not saved is as follows. And this is really simple. They do not listen to God's word at all. This is now the shocking part of the parable. The original guests, they don't want to come. Even though they had a personal invitation, and it was common at the time of Jesus that when a royal festivity like this, a royal wedding was going to take place, you would send an invitation and then you would send a second invitation to make sure they're coming. Kind of like when people invite me to their weddings or something and I don't respond and then they come up to me the second time and, "Are you coming?" "Well, I'm doing it. Yeah, I guess I'm coming." Right? even though they had this personal invitation, the initial guest didn't find it very important. And they had all kinds of excuses. You know excuses. We're good at making up excuses. When the alarm clock goes off in the morning and we think we can catch a few extra winks, we start making those excuses. Some felt they were just too busy. Work was too much for them to handle to take the time to go to this marriage celebration that the king had prepared for his son. Others, and this is where things start getting nasty, others hated being reminded that they had rejected. They hated being reminded of the rejection of the invitation, so they killed the king's servants. That seems a bit harsh. But Jesus is talking about the prophets. It's exactly what happened to them for proclaiming the invitation, for reminding to call people back to repentance. We see this happen with clergy type people today. We see this happen with grandparents or parents as family and friends and loved ones decide they don't want anything to do with you anymore because you're, well, a Christian, and that reminds them of what they've rejected. How many excuses have you heard for not going to church? The weirdest one I ever heard was on my vicarage. My vicarage supervisor said to me, in his very first call into the ministry, he went to a small parish in Minnesota, and he went and conducted the service his first Sunday there as pastor. And as he's greeting people on the way out, a gentleman shook his hand and said, "I'm never coming back." Pastor Krieger was a bit shocked and said, "May I ask why?" The man said, "I don't like how you walk." That's the weirdest excuse I've ever heard. But we've heard them all before. What is it that you would allow to keep the Word of God away from you? Sometimes it's a massive thing, and sometimes it's not much at all. Thank God we're not in the killing the messenger business today. But, well, we don't kill the messenger. The excuses haven't changed, nor has the hardening of the heart. And it gets hard towards those who proclaim the word, and it gets hard towards the word. I can't even fathom this king. He invited his guests to the marriage feast in goodwill, and they RSVP by killing his servants. They could have just said no. Such evil, the text is clear, tells us it will be dealt with. So it should come as no surprise that the king sends out an army to destroy those who's killed the messengers of the good news and the subjects who wanted nothing to do with the king. And by 70 AD, the words of Jesus are pretty much fulfilled as the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed and Israel has no place for its proper worship anymore. Yet, and this is a key point, and also the good point for us, the king's hall is going to be filled. His son and his son's bride are not going to be embarrassed. The wedding feast is ready, those invited not worthy. So he says, "Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And the servants went out the roads and gathered all whom they found both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. That's us. That's our invitation. This is where we have some peace. The king extends his invitation to the lowly and the despised, the good and the bad, the poor, miserable sinners like us. All are invited. All are offered then the proper attire to wear. No excuses. No, I don't have anything to wear to such an event. And all will be well fed. This feast will take place. His guest will be there. And we know that the Father will spare no expense, this King, because He sent His only Son. All who receive the King's invitation and don't reject it will be provided for by the King. And once you're at the feast, you will be treated like the King's own family. What a gracious host. Can you imagine even now having invited those who are not worthy, those who are good and bad, someone still rejects the King, rejects His gifts, rejects His proclamation, choosing to wear their own clothing instead. What I have is good enough. Right? Jesus understands me. It's just fine. Don't you know that our own filthy rags will not work? St. Paul warns us, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Philippians 3. You see, having your own clothes on reveals your own rejection of the King. It reveals that you have rejected His gracious invitation. And this is inexcusable, and based on the text, damnable. Bind him hand and foot, cast him into outer darkness, the place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. In 3 short days, the religious leaders in the temple, they will seize the groom, and they will kill him. The only begotten Son of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus will be hung on a Roman cross and die, and there carrying the sins of the entire world upon His body. And there He will even suffer the forsakenness of the Father. Yet thanks be to God, death has no hold on the sinless Son of God. And on the third day He will rise from the dead. And this declares our own resurrection who are joined to Him. So our text for today is Jesus proclaiming His death and resurrection to those who plot to kill Him, even as He calls them to repentance and is rejected because, as He has just taught, that they seek to come on their own righteousness. May this never be us. I hope it is clear by now to all that the wedding garments are the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness He clothes us in through baptism, through the hearing of the Word of God, in the receiving of the Lord's Supper. Jesus alone, you see, makes us acceptable to the Father, the King of all creation, and this clothing qualifies us to be more than guests at the wedding feast. We are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Yet having been clothed in Christ, we must hear St. Paul's warning. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Romans 13. A call to repentance, even while we are dressed. From our parable then today, we have learned that the kingdom of heaven is given by God's grace through His gift of faith, and we have not only been invited to the wedding feast, but we have been clothed and chosen to be there. God Himself has prepared everything. What joy to hear His word that invites us to receive from Him the beautiful garment of Christ's righteousness by His gift of faith. Now we receive only a foretaste of the feast that is to come as we gather at the marriage feast and with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, this side of heaven not quite being there. But it has all been revealed to us for all eternity. As St. John writes, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's you. That's me. So have no fear. For many are called, but few are chosen. But you and I, we have been called, we have been chosen, and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we never wander from this faith. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.